Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, and today we're taking a look at the minor prophets of the Old Testament and asking God to speak to us through His Word. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to Day 31 of the Minor Prophets. We're continuing our study in Nahum, and today's devotion is titled, When God Fights Against Nineveh. Someone once said, "No one can ever win a battle against God." Our text for today is from Nahum chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. "The scatterer has come up against you. Man the ramparts, watch the road, dress for battle, collect all your strength. For the Lord is restoring the majesty of Jacob as the majesty of Israel. For plunderers have plundered them and ruined their branches. The shield of his mighty men is red. His soldiers are clothed in scarlet. The chariots come with flashing metal on the day he musters them. The cypress spears are brandished. The chariots race madly through the streets. They rush to and fro through the squares. They gleam like torches. They dart like lightning. He remembers his officers. They stumble as they go. They hasten to the wall. The siege tower is set up. The river gates are opened. The palace melts away. Its mistress is stripped. She is carried off, her slave girls lamenting, moaning like doves, and beating their breasts. Nineveh is like a pool whose waters run away. Halt, halt, they cry, but none turns back. Plunder the silver, plunder the gold. There is no end of the treasure or of the wealth of all precious things." The second chapter of Nahum vividly describes the events that will precede the siege of Nineveh. At the time of Nahum's prophecy, Nineveh was considered an unconquerable city. Yet, the description of destruction found in Nahum chapter 2 shows the matchless power of Almighty God. It must be noted here that the Assyrians were conquered and destroyed just a few years after Nahum gave this prophecy. What is interesting is who conquered them: the Babylonians. God will use Babylon as his instrument of judgment against Nineveh. Stephen Miller describes the historical context surrounding the prophecy of Nahum chapter 2, verse 1. "For more than 100 years, Assyria had waged hostile campaigns against other nations. Now the tables had turned, and God announced plans to send an attacker against them. The attacker is literally one who scatters or shatters, a common figure for a victorious king." You can see Psalm 68, verse 1, Isaiah chapter 24, verse 1, and Jeremiah 52, verse 8. Divine judgment is not merely an abstract principle, but manifests itself in reality, and the means of carrying out the threats of chapter 1 are now explained. A military coalition of the Babylonians and Medes was the advancing foe. In 614 BC, Cyaxares, the king of the Medes, had waged war against Nineveh, but was able to subdue only a portion of its suburbs. A Babylonian-Median alliance finally defeated Nineveh in April or May of 612 BC. Nahum mockingly challenged Nineveh to do all it could to prepare for war, such as guarding the fortress and watching the road. The phrase translated "brace yourselves" means literally to gird the loins, a practice of tying the robe up around the waist in order to run, or in this case, to fight. Assyrian kings had prepared well for a siege. Sennacherib had spent 6 years building an armory that occupied 40 acres in the city, and Esarhaddon expanded it. The armory contained weapons necessary for the protection and extension of the Assyrian Empire: chariots, horses, armor, bows, arrows, quivers, and equipment. Easy movement of Assyrian troops was assured on the royal road, enlarged by Sennacherib to a width of 78 feet. In spite of all these material resources, the Assyrian Empire sank into oblivion because the God of Israel was against them. Nahum chapter 2, verses 3 through 10, shifts to present tense language to pronounce a series of military events leading to God's judgment on Nineveh. The victors will have shields and clothing covered in red because they will be covered in the blood of the Ninevites. That's from verse 3. Chariots appear like lightning as they dash through the streets. That's in verse 4. The soldiers of Nineveh will stumble to take their stand on the city wall, and their palace will melt away. Verses 5 and 6. John Gildingay and Pamela Scalise clarify the analogies that follow in verses 7 and 8. Like Babylon in Isaiah 47, the city is compared to a woman who is taken from greatness and majesty to humiliation, and whose servants, or slave girls, are horrified at what happens to their mistress. That's in verse 7. Another image is of the city as a pool in verse 8, which in its stillness contrasts with those overwhelming rivers, but it is like a reservoir that has had its plug pulled. Like the slave girls, here the draining waters stand for the city's population, which is disappearing off into exile as the city falls. Nineveh will be completely destroyed. The first half of Nahum 2 is a sobering reminder of God's judgment. When God fights against Nineveh, this capital city of Assyria has no chance at survival. Some questions to consider. What are your thoughts on this description in verse 1? The scatterer has come up against you. How does the imagery of these verses heighten the reality of God's judgment? And finally, what does Nahum chapter 2 teach about being on the wrong side of a battle against God? Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day.